You got into the safety business because you wanted to protect people. But somewhere along the way, the job started controlling your time, your schedule, your priorities, even your income potential. What if the expertise you've built over the years in the field can give you something more? More freedom, more control, more ownership of your future. I'm Sheldon Primus, the author of 7 Steps to Starting a Profitable Safety Consulting Business and the host of the Safety Consultant Podcast, with more than 350 episodes helping safety professionals become consultants and grow their career. Consulting changed my life. In fact, I'm a full-time RVer and one consulting contract paid for my home I live in today. Now, I help safety professionals build their own consulting practice through bi-weekly coaching calls, accountability, and personal guidance. But this program isn't for everyone. Start with the consultant readiness audit at sheldon.coach.
What if everything we thought we knew about safety was just interference? From the host of the Rated R Safety Show and the founder of Safety FM comes the complete Signal Transmission Trilogy, now available in one powerful edition. Safety, in my opinion, the book that started the conversation. Safety Mutation, where the boundaries of culture, systems, and belief begin to break. And now, Safety Transmission, the final piece of the Signal. For the first time, all 3 books are together in one volume. The Signal Transmission Trilogy, complete edition. This isn't just about compliance. It's about consciousness. It's about decoding the way we think, lead, and live, inside and outside the system. Whether you've been following the Signal since the beginning or you're just now tuning in, this is the version to own. Search Signal Trilogy on Amazon or visit safetyfm.com to get your copy now.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Rated MALSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Finally, show with the balls and call it like it is. Rated R Safety Show on Safety FM.
Countdown to audio torture.
The Rated R Safety Show starts in 3, 2, 1.
Let the eardrum pain begin.
Forget the corporate bullshit. This is the Rated R Safety Show with your host, Dr. It doesn't matter who the host is.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Anyways, how are you on this lovely Wednesday, March the 4th of 2026? Yeah, we would tell you the day number, but I just tend to lose count. But anyways, we are broadcasting from the Safety FM studios in Orlando, Florida, and coming across the multiverse known as Safety FM, and then hanging out with our friends and colleagues over there.
Radio Big.
Yep, hanging out with our friends and colleagues at Radio Big, no doubt about that. Anyways, how has the last 24 hours or so been for you? Yeah, always a good time when we get to take a look around and see what exactly the hell is going on as we are hanging out inside of the world of the multiverse, no doubt about that. So with this lovely Wednesday, it is Whip 'em Out Wednesday, so we do a little bit of everything here today in regards of what's going on, in regards of, you know, doing whatever you think it is. You know, Wacky Wednesday is a cool thing, but Whip 'em Out Wednesday has worked well for years here. So yes, if you want to interact with the show, it's a simple process of doing so. All you have to do is go to callinradio.com. That's callinradio.com. Once you get there, audio, video, and text messaging. Let me say that one again. Audio, video, and text messaging are the opciones that are there right away, and we get moving. Yeah, we get moving right away in regards to what exactly is going on. So if you're willing to do that, I'm willing to hang out and do all the other stuff that I need to do on this side. So once you get there, those are the three options. Just follow the prompt. I get a little notification over here on the screen, and then I kind of know where to go next. If you're not sure on what the hell we do here, don't worry. I'm not either, but our show consists of safety in the news, news and safety. That's what we talk about around here, no doubt about that. So we pull into all the main stories that we can get a hold of, talking about what the hell's going on inside of the world. And then I will give you a level of a feature story. Maybe that's what I should call it. Towards the middle of the show. And then that sums it up. You interact with the show. Normally a lot of people send in picks on Wednesday, which is kind of weird. But then we kind of go from there. And that's the whole kit and caboodle. That is what we do on Wednesdays, as we bring in all the major news stories. Also, with that being said, I do have some people that come in from feature story news to tell us exactly what the hell's going on. That way we don't seem like we're lost in a romance or a wilderness of pain. So with that being said, let's go ahead and lean to the left and then lean to the right. Okay, now, I was going to say then crisscross, but we don't want to do that. Okay, so if that is cool with you, I'm going to bring in my friends from Feature Story News, and they're going to start talking right away about what the hell is going on inside of the world of the multiverse. So let's do that right now.
Here is the news on the Rated R Safety Show.
From Feature Story News, I'm Rebecca Bunsen in Mumbai. Israel says it is carrying out new strikes on Iran. The death toll in Iran from the escalating conflict in the Middle East is approaching 800, the Red Crescent says. The US says it has hit more than 2,000 targets in Iran since it began military operations on Saturday. President Donald Trump told reporters at the White House that everything's been knocked out in Iran.
That is coming along, as you see very well. They have no navy, it's been knocked out. They have no air force, it's been knocked out. They have no air detection, that's been knocked out. Their radar has been knocked out. And just about everything's been knocked out. So we'll see how we do. But we're doing very well. We have a great military, and they're doing a fantastic job. So we'll be talking about that.
Oil prices rose while Asian stocks declined for a third consecutive day in early trading on Wednesday due to the war in the Middle East. The U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran has destabilized the region and threatens to deliver a new inflationary shock to the global economy by pushing up oil prices and squeezing energy supplies. Laura Westbrook reports from Hong Kong.
Asian stock markets slid again, with South Korea's KOSPI plunging, making it on track for its worst day since August 2024 and extending a steep sell-off from the previous session. The Korean exchange temporarily halted trading for the KOSPI index on Wednesday. Investors are grappling with mounting uncertainty over the duration of the Middle East conflict and inflationary pressures, with the key question being asked when or how the war will end. Investors in the region are also watching an annual parliamentary meeting by China's policymakers that kicks off on Wednesday. Laura Westbrook, Hong Kong.
President Donald Trump says the U.S. will start offering insurance and Navy escorts to tankers traveling through the Strait of Hormuz as oil and gas prices spike due to the war in Iran. About 20% of the world's oil and roughly a third of its liquefied natural gas pass through the narrow waterway off of Iran's coast. Tony Waterman has more.
President Trump made the announcement on social media, saying the U.S. government will provide all maritime trade traveling through the Gulf with political risk insurance, and if necessary, will instruct the U.S. Navy to escort tankers through the strait. Tanker traffic through the waterway has come to a near standstill since Saturday, with Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps threatening to attack any vessels passing through. The escalating conflict in the Middle East has sent Brent crude oil up over 10%, while natural gas prices in Europe are 76% higher than they were last week, further threatening Trump's fragile support for the war. Tony Waterman, Washington.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks. What's the outlook for the oil price as the US and Israeli war on Iran intensifies? Already in the United States, petrol prices are up 11 cents a gallon on average at the pumps, taking the cost of a gallon of fuel north of $3. And some analysts are predicting that price could continue to rise by around 3 cents a gallon every single day that the war is waged. Mauricio Carulli is a global energy analyst at investment management firm Quilter Cheviot.
There has been already a reaction in terms of oil prices and gas prices, and this is mainly due to the increased geopolitical risk in the Middle East. Depending on how and for how long the military action will continue, the oil price will adjust quite quickly. So if the situation will calm down over the next few weeks, oil price will revert to the $60 to $65 per barrel. But vice versa, if the situation precipitates and there will be a widespread and prolonged Middle East war over months, then the shipping across the Strait of Hormuz will be halted, and then of course oil price will rise toward 100 barrels or more.
And Iran has vowed to attack any ship that attempts to transit through the Straits of Hormuz, further underscoring the risk of the conflict forcing up energy prices for a good long while to come. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
The main news again. Israel says it is carrying out new strikes on Iran. The death toll in Iran from the escalating conflict in the Middle East is approaching 800, the Red Crescent says. Oil prices rose while Asian stocks declined for a third consecutive day in trading on Wednesday due to the war in the Middle East. President Donald Trump says the US will start offering insurance and Navy escorts to tankers travelling through the Strait of Hormuz as oil and gas prices spike. And that is the latest Feature Story News, Rebecca Bunden reporting.
Listen to our host
of the Rated R Safety Show.
Self-implode on our airwaves, only on Safety FM.
You ever hit the wall, burnout, stressed, or just feeling that everything is piling up and thought, yeah, I probably need to talk to someone? The problem is finding the therapist who actually takes your insurance feels impossible at times. That's where Rula comes in. Rula is a healthcare company that makes mental health care easy to access and actually affordable. They partner with over 100 insurance plans, so the average copay is about $15 a session, sometimes even less. With Rula, you get matched with the right therapist for you, not just whoever's available. Their network has over 15,000 licensed professionals, and you can book an appointment as soon as tomorrow. No wait lists, no frustrations, just therapy that works with your schedule and your insurance. Thousands of people are already using Rula to get affordable, high-quality therapy that actually covered by insurance. Visit Rula.com/safetyfm to get started. After you sign up, you'll be asked how you heard about them. Please support our show and let them know that we sent you there. That's Rula.com/safetyfm. You deserve mental health care that works with you, not against your budget. Go to Rula.com/safetyfm right now to get started. That's Rula.com/safetyfm, because you deserve mental health care that works with you, not against your budget.
In safety, in my opinion, you woke up. You saw the system, the simulation, the structure that trained you to mistake compliance for care. Safety mutation. Information misdirection picks up where the signal fractured. Because the system didn't shut you down, it rebranded you. It packaged your voice, sold your rebellion as a new initiative, and smiled while doing it. This isn't a manual.
It's a decoded transmission about what happens when slogans replace stories, when safety becomes marketing, and when truth gets mirrored so perfectly, you forget it was ever yours. You'll see the mutation. Learning teams turned into theater. Zero harm turned into optics. And feedback turned into formatting. But the signal didn't die. It was redirected.
Safety Mutation is book two of the Signal Transmission Trilogy. Available now in print, Kindle, and audiobook. Narrated by the author Jay Allen, PhD. Because the system adapted. Now it's your move.
It's a new year, but it's feeling harder than ever to find and hire qualified people you need, especially for small businesses. That's where LinkedIn Job comes in. They make it easier to find people you want to talk to faster and for free. You can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 770 million people. Focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience and use screening questions to get your role in front of the most qualified people. Then use the simple tools on LinkedIn Jobs to quickly filter and prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering qualified hires versus leading competitors. I have to tell you that we have used LinkedIn Jobs to even find some of the people that we have here at Safety FM. LinkedIn Jobs can help you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your jobs for free on LinkedIn.com/safetyfm. That's LinkedIn.com/safetyfm to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. And don't forget to tell them that you heard it right here on Safety FM.
What a wonderful world.
Help keep
radio personalities
in our world. Go online, call, or scan to symbolically adopt
a radio personality
for just $16 a month. Your support will help WWF protect
radio personalities
in our world. Go online, call, or scan now. Don't let them disappear forever. Act now to help keep
radio personalities
and their habitats.
Okay, anyways, 15 minutes past the top of the hour as you and I are hanging out on this lovely, lovely Wednesday. So anyways, let's get into it. I don't know what the hell happened there, but I love it. I really do. Okay, so let's continue talking. Sometimes we don't always talk about the most gracious stuff as we start, but let's just talk about how sometimes you can do some things and not be aware that you need to do them. And when you do them, you're just kind of like, oh, that made sense to do. So a 19-year-old college freshman just cashed out again. Zach Zardgari, you freshman of University of Miami, has sold an AI-powered calorie tracking app, Cal AI, to MyFitnessPal over the past year. Cal AI pulled in $35 million in revenue, employs about 30 people, and is projected to hit $50 million this year. Not bad for homework between classes. Cal AI uses recognized powered OpenAI technology to track calories simply by analyzing photo of the food. Zach says that he built this because he personally hated traditional calorie tracking apps and wanted something faster and easier. He and his co-founders worked on it during high school, and once the app became inaccurate enough, they went to heavy on paid marketing, influencer campaigns, and aggressive ad spending on social media platforms fueled its rapid growth. This isn't the first of its kind. At 16, he sold an unblocked gaming site called Totally Science that let students bypass school internet filters. Entrepreneurial? I don't know. Absolutely, I would think. Probably drove the IT admin crazy. Also, yes, ironically, Zach originally reached out to a potential buyer because he wanted a more traditional college experience. At first, there was no interest. A few months later, MyFitnessPal came back and ready to deal. No, he says that he was likely that he'll likely drop out and build his next company, despite previously saying that he didn't want to be the stereotypical college dropout. Listen to what he had to say.
What's happened with your company since then? And what's your life like now? Is you're 18 years old now?
I just turned 19, actually.
Just turned 19. All right, well, you're over the hill. What's going on with Cal AI now?
So we just finished 2025, having done $30 million in revenue, and we've grown a lot. So in January, we just did $5.7 million in revenue, and we're on track to do $50 million this year. But the bigger news is that we just sold the company to MyFitnessPal.
So you have sold the company that you started when you were 16, and you have now sold this company that is on track to make $50 million this year. I would imagine you made a lot of money, right? Fair to say?
I mean, I'm happy and the team is happy with the outcome. Unfortunately, I can't comment on specific deal terms.
Okay, so there you go. So, listen, I'm not saying the guy's not a genius. I'm not saying that he is. I'm not saying that he isn't. But I want you to think about that for just a moment. And you're going to go, why the hell are we talking about this? Well, the reason we're talking about this is because the dude put his mind to doing something and got it to work. I'm not saying, hey, go out there and, you know, start using all of OpenAI's technology and try to get it to work. I mean, as you can see, there has been an onslaught of people leaving OpenAI in regards to subscription. Do whatever you want, of course. But I'm looking at this and saying, isn't it interesting that a 16-year-old was able to come up with something and able to work forward in it? I don't know, you know, how that works, if that's the greatest thing of all time or not, but I look at it from the standpoint of it makes it pretty interesting. When you start thinking about kid created something because he was frustrated with something in regards to how apps work to track food, and then all of a sudden said, hey, I might have something here to be able to sell. I mean, what a hell of a story if you really start thinking about it in one way, shape, or form, and that's not a joke. Okay, so let's continue talking about some other things. I guess I need to get a little bit more serious because we need to do this. Okay, so take a listen to this. An American pilot who ejected from the F-15 Eagle after it was mistakenly shot down over Kuwait had a tense welcome on the ground. Video shows a group of local men surrounding and shouting, and one guy waving a metal pipe. The pilot can be heard repeating, yelling, back up, stop, back up. As they move closer, apparently thinking that he was Iranian. The situation finally cools down when the pilot tells him that he's American. Once they realize who he is, the crowd backs off and leaves him alone. He was one of six crew members aboard three U.S. jets that were accidentally shot down on Monday. Now, keep in mind that the audio that we played yesterday was quite different, but take a listen to this one. Okay. I mean, there you go. Think about that for a moment. All of a sudden, you just ejected out of a plane, and some people think they're about to jump you because they're not sure who the hell you are. I mean, I kind of get it. No doubt about that. So take a listen to this. This guy just started making the rounds, and I just found this. Former NASCAR driver Chase Pistone has died at the age of 42. His brother Nick shared the news on Facebook, calling him his young brother and best friend, and saying that he's heartbroken. No official cause of death has been released, but the family asked that the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline be shared. NASCAR star Bubba Wallace also posted a racer that he competed against in Legend Cars had taken his life. Pistone completed 10 NASCAR National Series races between 2005 and 2014. He made four starts in what fans would know as the ARCA Mendar Series, debuted in 2006 with 37th place finish after overheating issues, and earned his career's best 14th place finish in Iowa Speedway in 2014, driving for Turner Scott Motorsports. He also made six starts in NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series and recorded a top 10 finish in his ARCA start. Racing runs in his family. He was the grandson of Tiger Tom Pistone, a two-time winner in the NASCAR Cup Series. After stepping away from NASCAR top levels, Pistone said that he collected more than 80 wins in Legends, Late Models, and USAR feature cars, still chasing that checkered flag. So there you go, some information right there. So a lot of stuff going on right there. But man, that just came out of left field in regards of being able to see that. So there you go. Okay, let's talk about some other stuff that is going on. A Georgia father has been found guilty after prosecutors said that he provided a rifle used in a deadly 2024 high school shooting. Colin Gray, 55, was convicted on 27 counts, including second-degree murder, involuntary manslaughter, reckless conduct, and cruelty towards children. After jurors deliberated for less than 2 hours, two cruelty to children charges were dismissed before deliberations. Under Georgia law, second-degree murder carries up to 30 years in prison. Prosecutors argued that the case on who armed the teenage suspect and enabled the attack, Gray admitted that the stand that he had given his son the rifle as a Christmas present, but testified that he never believed that his son was capable of mass shooting, saying the struggle with it every day. The shooting at Appalachian High School killed students at Mason Shinnerman and Christian Angulo, both 14, along with teacher Richard Aspinwall and Christina Ermey, a tragedy that shook the rural community. The father conviction marks the first time in Georgia history that a parent of a high school shooting suspect has been charged in connection with the crime. Legal observers say that the verdict could encourage more prosecutors to pursue parents when firearms are used in a school shooting that come from the home. The teen suspect, Colt Gray, faces 55 charges, including murder and aggravated assault. His case is still pending, though the defense attorney have indicated plea negotiations may be underway. So hold on, because I'm kind of confused here. How does this work? So he gave them the rifle. Do you have to have a permit for the rifle in Georgia? And if you do, how does that work? Was the gun permitted to the father and not the son? And was the son even of age to be able to have a permit? Because it doesn't say the kid's age. It says, you know, the people that were murderers' age. I get that part. But I want to have a better understanding of this. I mean, especially if we're going to have a conversation about it. Because then we're going to talk about, you know, the amendments. Because that's just kind of what we do. But I want to make sure that we have a clear understanding of what's going on. Because, listen, this is probably going to set precedents for everything else, so who knows?
Who truly cares what this guy has to say? Who gives a shit? Rated R Safety Show.
Okay, so take a listen to this, because I think it's interesting. The province of British Columbia is officially done changing the clocks. Premier David Eby announced that this weekend, Spring 4, will be the last time residents adjust their watches. Starting now, BC will stay on a permanent daylight saving time, rebranded as Pacific Time. That means that when November rolls around, there's no fallback. Clocks stay put. From November to March, BC will be the same time as Alberta's Providence Mountain Time regions, sitting an hour ahead of Washington, Oregon, and California. From March to November, the lineup with those West Coast states again. The move was enabled by the 2019 law, but had been waiting for the U.S. Senate to make a similar change. With the effort stalled, Eby basically said, somebody has to go first. For the record, UConn already made the jump back in 2020. Now, I know that for a period of time, there was a talk here that Florida was going to go into this main sequence here where they were going to stay in a particular time zone, which would be springing forward. So it would be daylight savings time. I kept on referring to it because nobody would give it a name as Florida time, which I think would even be more hilarious when it's all said and done because, hey, think about that. We're living in Florida time, but it was passed by the state that they were okay with it. But apparently there has to be some level of federal regulation to change that to be able to go forward. So you are allowed by federal government standards to stay in standard time year round. But there has to be something that the feds put out for you to be able to stay permanently in daylight savings time. Now, listen, I don't know about you, but it becomes kind of weird, that whole jumping thing. I lived in Puerto Rico for a long period of time, and there was no time change. You just kind of stayed there in regards of no, you know, you didn't fall back, you didn't move forward. It was just thing. So I don't know. I don't know what works best when it's all said and done. So just think about that. Okay. Let's talk about this one. Bill Gates acknowledges during a recent town hall with employees of Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that he had two past affairs, one with a Russian bridge player and another with a Russian nuclear physicist. He described one relationship as more personal and the other connected to business. That's kind of another interesting thing to say. The comments come amid renewed scrutiny over the past association with disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein. Gates again called spending time with Epstein a huge mistake, but instead, he did not elicit and never spend time with victims. He also denied claims stemming from the Justice Department documents releases that reference old emails alleging misconduct. The bridge player widely reported to be connected with Gates is Mila Antonova. First identified publicly in 2023, fewer details are known about the physicist. Separately, Microsoft had previously investigated an allegation that Gates sought an intimate relationship with an employee in 2000. He stepped down from Microsoft board back in 2020 with differing accounts over whether the departure was tied to that matter. So there you go. A lot of stuff to think about there as we are talking. So I don't know. Okay, take a listen to this one. Keith Ellison in the Minnesota Department of Human Services have filed a lawsuit against the federal government after $259 million in Medicaid fund were withheld. The dispute follows an announcement from Vice President J.D. Vance and Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services Administration, Dr. Oz, stating that the funds were being held over alleged Medicare fraud and noncompliance. Ellison is suing the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and plans to seek temporary restraining order against Dr. Oz and the HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to prevent them from withholding. The conflict dates back to January the 6th, apparently not a date to really talk about, when the administration announced that it would withhold more than $2 billion, that's with a B, annually over alleged noncompliance. Minnesota appealed, saying that it has been clearly told how it's out of compliance or how to fix the issue. The lawsuit claims that after deferring $243 million on February the 25th, the federal government has delayed hearing and required documentation, leaving the state without a clear path to resolve the matter. Ellison argues that the administration is bypassing due to the process of harming Minnesotans who rely on Medicaid, while federal officials maintain the move is tied to fraud and enforcement. So what do you think here? Some stuff, huh? Some stuff for sure as we are going through it. I don't know. I look at it and go, when something like that is being withheld, how quick will this kind of get through the matter that needs to happen? I mean, in regards of, you know, if I'm looking at this and I need to help out in regards of getting this money quicker, how do I do this for the residents is my question. So there you go. So let's continue talking. Let's talk about, do we have two more or do we have time? Let's talk about this one real quick. We'll go to it. A Florida mountain. What, before I say this, Welcome
to Florida, WTF.
A Florida mom says that her 17-month-old has a champagne taste in dairy. Angela Campbell from Orlando says that her toddler regularly asks for butter as a snack, specifically $11.99 grass-fed butter imported from New Zealand. The little one reportedly eats about a teaspoon at least five times a week and even says butter when she wants it. Campbell says that she believes that grass-fed butter is packed with beneficial vitamins and healthy fats that support the brain and body development. She admits that her husband finds it gross. Sometimes butter is when dad's at work treat, and the trend is part of what the online are calling the butter baby boom. Tied to a broader carnivore-style parenting movement, focusing on whole foods like meat, eggs, and dairy instead of processed snacks. Supporters argue that fat essentials for babies, and pediatric expert knows that children under two actually need higher fat intake than adults. The American Academy of Pediatrics says that fats shouldn't be severely restricted in toddlers, but doctors also warn moderation matters. Some pediatricians say that butter isn't a miracle food and shouldn't be served alone, and could even pose a choking risk because of the texture. They suggest alternatives like avocado, olive oil, and nut butter, and healthy fats. So there you go. Do you remember when people were putting like full sticks of butter inside of their coffee? Like that was a thing. I remember it being a thing. Or at least I remember seeing it and believing it was a thing. I don't know. Some stuff to think about, that's for sure. Anyways, 32 minutes past the top of the hour, so I think we should probably do that thing that we normally do around this time.
Here is our main story on the Rated R Safety Show.
Yep. You know how this is going to go. We're going to slow everything down. Slow it down. And we're going to start talking. And I want you just to sit back for a moment. And I want you to picture a room. You know, that room that you've been there. The room, you're sitting in this massive, freezing cold hotel ballroom. Or maybe you're crammed into one of those rented conference centers off the interstate, because that happens too. And you're drinking that terrible lukewarm coffee out of a paper cup. I'm only imagining because I don't drink that shit. The lights go down. The heavy bass of some generic walk-up music starts thumping through the PA system. And here comes the guy, you know.
Here is our guy.
You know, the guy. He's wearing perfectly tailored suit, jacket with branded polo shirt underneath, and he looks like he's approachable. He's also, you know, he's got a little Britney Spears wire headset microphone wrapped around his head, around his ear, so his hands are free so he can make the big dramatic calculated gestures that he is a safety motivational speaker. He paces the stage. He tells those harrowing stories about the accident from 20 years ago, or maybe tells you the story about climbing a mountain or playing college football or overcoming adversity, and then he builds the tension. He drops the voice to a whisper, and then he pauses. And then right in the middle of his perfectly rehearsed monologue, he stops walking. He looks dead into the crowd, points a finger, and asks, "Raise your hand if you're getting value out of the conversation right now." Now, think about how utterly bizarre that moment is. The audience nervously shifts in their seats. Guys look side to side, and slowly, half-heartedly, hands start going up because it is incredibly socially awkward to leave a grown man hanging on the stage while he begs, please, for validation of his existence. But it doesn't stop there, because the validation loop is an addiction. And at the end of his hour-long performance, after he has calculated a massive five-figure speaking fee, what does he do? He pulls out his phone. He turns it back into the crowd and holds up the camera in a high in the air and yells into the microphone, "Did we learn how to be safe today?" And the crowd, exhausted, mentally drained, and just wanting to get the hell out of there, to a stale turkey rap, yells back, "Yeah." 10 minutes later, the video is on LinkedIn, and looked at the engagement, and look at the value, and look at the impact. Now, let's talk about this exactly what it is. This is not about educating the worker. This is not about sharing a life-saving signal or intercepting reality. This is the fragile ego of the speaker demanding a receipt, the validation loop. When a speaker had to publicly stop the presentation to beg the audience to confirm that he is providing value, it means that he fundamentally does not believe the signal that he is transmitting. Low entropy is truth that does not require a cheerleader. Gravity doesn't ask you to raise your hand to confirm that you're keeping your steel-toe boots on the floor. It just exists. It's undeniable. But if you think that I am just bringing this up to bash some guy on a fucking stage somewhere, you're missing the mutation. Because this isn't about the conference circuit. This is exactly the same psychology sickness that is infecting your workplace right now. The corporate safety construct does the exact same thing. The executives, the safety directors, the people writing the policies up on the top floor, they are insecure speakers with the headset microphone. And the blue line, the workers turning the wrenches, dealing with the heat, dealing with the pressure, and actually the physical hazards, you are the captive audience in the freezing ballroom. Think about how the system operates when they roll out a new initiative. Corporate decides they need a new safety culture or culture shift, however you want to put it. They buy a massive bloated program with a catchy new acronyms. They print up the glossy posters for the break room. They pull the workers off the floor, halting production for a mandatory
stand-up meeting because we got to have one of those. Let's do that safety stand down.
The plant manager stands up in front, a guy completely disconnected from the gritty, multidimensional chaos of the production floor, and he pitches the new program. He reads the slides. He says the buzzwords, zero harm, safety is a choice. And then what does the contract demand before you are allowed to go back to work? Validation. They wheel out a massive white vinyl banner, the safety commitment board, and they hand you the Sharpie. They make every single worker walk up to the front of the room and sign their name on the banner to prove that they brought in to this, that you were brought into this presentation. A month later, they send the safety climate survey asking you to rate how much you feel that leadership cares about the scale of safety that's going on. And they give you a scale of 1 to 5. The force supervisor walks the floor to do the behavior-based safety observations, pulling workers aside while they are actively trying to fix a broken pump. Just ask, do you feel like management has provided you with the tools to succeed today? You see, the system is not asking those questions because it wants to know the actual truth. The system is pulling out iPhones and yelling, did I give you value today?
Duh.
And just like that awkward crowd in the ballroom, the workers play the game. They raise their hands, they sign the banner with the black ink, and they fill it with the number 5 for the digital survey. Do they do it because the new program actually fixed the forklift that they're trying to get rid of all the error codes for the last 3 weeks? Do they do it because corporate finally adjusted to the unrealistic production schedule? No. They do it because they know that if they don't validate the construct, the system immune response will attack them. They know that the score of 2 on a survey means more mandatory meetings. They know that refusing to sign the banner makes them a cultural problem. Philip K. Dick warned us about artificial realities. The simulation requires your participation to sustain itself. The construct relies on high entropy validation loops to keep the illusion alive. If the workers stop clapping, if they refuse to raise their hands, if they refuse to sign the banner, if they stop validating the broken system, the executives will have to confront the terrifying reality that the map is not the territory. The construct manufactures consent. It creates a chaotic, high-entropy feedback loop of surveys, signatures, audits, and forced applauses to drown out the fact that the actual engine on the production is starving for real resources. Bruce Lee once told us that we have to reject the dead forms, the corporate validation loop in the ultimate dead form. It is a choreographed performative routine that looks incredible on a digital dashboard, but if you go out into a real street fight, you'd get killed. The physical universe does not give a damn about your net promoter score. When the mutation happens, when the work as imagined shattered into the violent, unpredictable reality as work is done, the only thing that matters is the raw, unvarnished truth, the physical hazard that does not stop because you gave the morning safety meeting a 5-star review. The arc flash doesn't care about the signature in your commitment banner. We have to teach our people to stop validating the simulation. If the speaker on the stage isn't providing value, do not raise your hand. Let the dead air hang. If the new corporate procedure is 40-page fantasy that directly contradicts the physical reality of the blue line, do not sign the banner. Be like water. hack away the unnecessarials, administrative noise, cut through the construct, high interest rate bullshit and low interest rate signal of truth. Stop telling the system what it wants to hear and start telling the system what is actually happening. The system does not need you for you to be there to applause. It is a dying for your honesty. It wants the truth. Because at the end of the day, when the applauses fade, the camera turns off, and the executives go back to their air-conditioned office, you are the one standing there. Think about this. In the fire.
Oops. What did he just say?
We at Safety FM don't always agree with the viewpoints of our hosts and guests.
Now back to real safety talk on Safety FM.
Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the home of real safety talk.
You're listening to Safety FM. We'll be right back.
You've seen the loop. You've felt the shift. The script doesn't fit anymore. And neither do you. Safety transmission. The collapse of the construct is the third and final signal in the trilogy from J. Allen, PhD. And this time, it's not about waking up. It's about what you do once you're awake. The system didn't break. It just stopped pretending to hold you. And now it's blinking, rebranding presence, packaging resistance, and calling it progress. This book isn't a guide. It's a transmission. It doesn't teach the system how to evolve. It shows you how to stop performing for it. You'll see what happens when awareness becomes responsibility, when audits don't listen, and when leadership becomes a loop. But if you've made it this far, you're not here to be managed. You're here to carry signal. Safety transmission. The collapse of the construct. Now available in print, Kindle, and audiobook. Narrated by J. Allen, PhD. Because if it couldn't hold your signal, it was never real to begin with.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hacked? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety?
How about safety training that actually addresses your hazards in your workplaces and is not standardized baloney from 25 years ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call Jim Pozel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces.
Let's start using cutting-edge warp speed 5G technology with your cell phone. Let me tell you about my friends at mobilemobile.io. They have an ultra-fast 4G LTE and 5G network that covers 99% of Americans. So they've got you covered everywhere. Think about it for a moment. You have the opportunity to take a test drive for 10 days with unlimited talk, text, and premium data. What is premium data? Premium data is an allotment of a cellular data that you receive from a higher priority on the network. You won't get throttled like you will with some of those, well, non-brand service providers. To find out more information, all you have to do is go to mobilemobile.io. That's mobilemobile.io to start your 10-day free trial.
Hello.
Radio Big, streaming 24/7 at radiobig.fm.
In another timeline, you were mine. We didn't swear the rivers, bend the sky.
Okay, here we are, 46 minutes past the top of the hour as you and I are hanging out on this lovely Whippamount Wednesday. Thank you for the people interacting with the stuff that they're sending in. Always a good time. So this right here, Parallel Love. I would love to tell you that it's available here, here, and here, but it's not because I made it here. Just not now. OK, Okay, so there you go. We'd like to thank, you know, this heavily influenced song. We'd like to say by who and by when. But let's leave it alone. Okay, so there you go. There you go. There you go. Let's continue moving inside of the world of the multiverse, because that's kind of what we do around here. Let's talk about the most important thing that I will ever tell you in my lifetime, and that's about my friends at To Write Love on Our Arms. No matter what you're facing, you deserve to be connected to help, and we want you to know that people have been where you are now and that healing is possible. Things can get better. To find out more information, all you have to do is go to TWLOHA.com and click on the section that says Find Help. Once you get there, you're going to see information related to addiction, depression, anxiety, eating disorder, self-injury, suicide, trauma, and grief support, just to name a few. That's TWLOHA.com, To Write Love on Her Arms. So there you go. A lot of stuff going on inside of the world of the multiverse. So if you're good with this, I'm good with this. Let's continue talking about some other things that are going on, because I think it's always important to do that. Let's talk about a couple of events that we have coming up here in the next, let's see, what is it, March the 4th. So here at the end of the month, we have an event going on in Santa Fe, New Mexico. It's the Conklin Workshop, not to be confused with the Conklin Conference. This is, we'll be taking some dives in here, talking about what the hell is going on when you start doing an incident investigation, and how to be able to handle it. And what will take place is we'll have Redonda Voigt there talking about a firsthand experience that she had. And then we'll have Todd Conklin kind of going through the whole process on how to look at it with the hop lens using some tools that were created by Brent Sutton. And we'll have Ann Liren there actually kind of leading the whole event in regards to what is going on. Yours truly will be there as well. That's taking place on March the 31st through April the 1st. You can find tickets right there off of that QR code if you're interested in attending. If you want to just go to the website is safetyfm.com and click where it says live events. Also, we have another event coming up on during the summer if you're interested in coming down to Orlando, Florida, of course. We have one that's happening called Reality Shifts, taking place in Orlando, July the 13th of 2026. We'll have three different speakers there, of course. We'll have Nick Weatherly talking about behavior-based safety. We'll have Todd Conklin discussing human and organizational performance. We'll watch a version of a movie that we'll have to play during that, because, of course, when you're in a movie theater, you're not going to pass that up. And I will be there to close out the event, talking about Signal Trilogy. So there you go. If you're interested in attending, there's a QR code right there on the screen. Or if not, you can do the same thing by going to safetyfm.com and clicking on the section that says live events. Would love to see you there. And yes, we purposely did that one on a Monday because who does not want to come to Orlando? I mean, if you go to Orlando, might as well enjoy your weekend there. So we kind of figured we would do it earlier in the week for that to work out in that fashion. Anyways, with that being said, I have John Small waiting in the wing. He's wanting to talk about the Motivation Minute. So if you're good with this, I'm good with this. And I think we should get it going right now. Here's John. The Motivation
Minute. Courtesy of JaceCaseMedical.com. Today's quote was submitted by Brian. Isaac Newton said, "In the absence of any other proof, the thumb alone would convince me of God's existence." I love this one. I thought this might be the origin of the term rule of thumb, but it's not. Our opposing thumbs, though, allow us to do things that most of God's creatures can't do. A quick story here. My daughter broke her arm when she was very young, and then actually she broke it again a few years later, the other arm. She was a little risk taker, kind of like her daddy, but I digress. When she had her cast on her tiny little broken arm, it made the use of her thumb more difficult. She could still use it a little bit, but with a tiny kid's hand and a giant thick cast, the thumb was like a nub. I remember when that happened. I was thinking about thumbs for the first time in my life. We're designed in an amazing way, and sadly, I believe we mostly take that for granted. The Motivation Minute. This has been The Motivation Minute. I'm John Small. Thanks for listening. Your favorite motivational quotes can be submitted for upcoming programs at motivationminute.org.
Here is the news on the Roy Lamar Safety Show.
U.S. and Israel continue to launch coordinated airstrikes on Iran.
Iran hit back hard, firing missiles at U.S.-aligned Gulf states like the Emirates, Jordan, Qatar, Bahrain, Kuwait, and Saudi Arabia. Three American troops died in Kuwait from the attacks. President Trump warns more U.S. losses could come as the conflict grows. Benjamin Wright reporting.
Oil prices spiked sharply Monday while global stocks plunged amid fears of the Iran war spreading further into key energy regions.
Gold prices climbed as investors sought safe havens from the turmoil. Markets reacted to Iran's strikes on neighbors and U.S. military losses. Financial experts watch closely for bigger economic ripples ahead. Liam White reporting.
Israel hammered Lebanon with strikes Monday after Hezbollah rockets flew in response to the widening Iran conflict, killing at least 31 people there.
Lebanon's health ministry reported the deaths with no Israeli casualties noted yet. The IDF warned over 50 Lebanese villages to evacuate. Tensions rise as Iranian-backed groups join the fray. Gary Beck reporting.
This is the latest news headlines.
Gasoline prices jumped across the U.S. Monday as the war with Iran disrupted oil supplies and drove up costs at pumps nationwide.
Experts predict even steeper hikes soon from ongoing attacks in the Gulf. Drivers feel the pinch with averages climbing fast. Families rethink budgets amid the surge. Airports shut down and flights canceled nationwide Monday, stranding travelers in massive chaos tied to the Iran war's fallout. Security alerts and fuel shortages forced widespread closures at major hubs. Lawrence Keller reporting.
Investigation continues regarding a deadly shooting rocked Austin's Lively Bar.
This happened early Sunday, leaving 2 dead, 14 wounded, and the gunman killed by police on site. The incident hit Buford's Beer Garden as crowds partied late. Witnesses described chaos with gunshots echoing through the streets. FBI probes if terrorism played a role in the attack. Kevin Sanders reporting.
North Carolina's 4th District primary Tuesday tests Democratic challengers claiming incumbents fight too softly on key issues.
Voters decide who best pushes party goals in Washington. The race draws national eyes as an early benchmark. Turnout could shape future strategies. Jessica Oakley reporting.
President Trump faces calls to better explain the Iran military campaign to Americans through social media clips and sudden phone announcements.
He detailed strikes that killed Iran's leader and hit key sites. Pressure builds for clear updates on goals and risks. The public wants straight talk on the costs. Kyle Norris reporting.
And that's the latest news headlines with Alan Edwards.
You are listening to a radio god. What? This has to be an error. That host is not a radio god. Anyways, this is the Rated R Safety Show on Safety FM.
Okay, here we go. We are currently 54 minutes past the top of the hour. Let's talk about some things that happened back on this date. If I take a look around, back in 1801, the first presidential inauguration is in Washington, D.C. That was with Thomas Jefferson, just in case you do not know. That was back in 1801. Back in 1861, President Lincoln opens the government printing office. What else do we got? Let's see. Why are we in the 1800s? Okay, let's talk about this one. In 1952, Ronald Reagan marries Nancy Davis. So there you go. And let's see, 1994, John Candy died. In 1996, Minnie Pearl died. 1997, President Clinton bans federal-funded human cloning research. In 2019, Luke Perry dies. And then 2025, U.S. tariffs of 25% on Mexico and Canada come into effect, along with increasing tariffs on Chinese go to 20%. Canada and China immediately retaliate. So there you go. That all happened back on this date, with a whole bunch of other stuff going on. If you're looking at some celebrity birthdays for today, here we go. Emilio Estefan turned 73. Steven Weber turned 65. Chaz Bono turns 57. And Andrea Bowen turns 36 today. So there you go. Let's talk about some things you ought to know, because you ought to know them. Tonight's Powerball jackpot is for $20 million. Here's last night Mega Million numbers. It was 7, 21, 53, 54, 62. Mega Ball was 16. So there you go. Also, tensions in the Middle East just got another jolt. The U.S. consulate building in Dubai was struck by a drone during Iran's ongoing retaliation attacks in the region. Videos circulating online yesterday showed a large plume of smoke rising from the site after the local officials described as a missile strike. Authorities say no one was injured and that the fire that followed was extinguished. In some other news, Facebook users across the U.S. apparently and beyond got an unexpected digital timeout thanks to a major outage yesterday. The problem started just after 4 p.m. Eastern time, according to Down Detector, with more than 10,000 reports rolling in within the hour. Users trying to log in were met with a message saying their account was unavailable due to site issues and to try again later. The hardest hit cities were Detroit, Chicago, and Los Angeles, but reports also poured out in major East Coast hubs. And it wasn't just Americans' problems. Users in countries like Poland and Austria said that they were locked out too. Meta labeled the site issue as an indicated fix that works. I don't know what that even means. In the meantime, millions of people were forced to do something that they hadn't planned. What, log into another app? Because, I mean, that's what they're probably going to do. Okay, so that's it. That's going to sum up our time together. At the top of the hour, I will be going over to RadioBig.fm for the next couple hours or so if you want to come and hang out with me. If you don't want to go over there, that's perfectly fine. You can stay right here on Safety FM and hang out with the likes of Sheldon Primus as he talks about the world of safety consulting. He'll take you down the plethora of things that are available. If I can't leave you with some words of wisdom for today, would love to do that. It's funny how we spent a good old days dreaming about the future, and now we dream about going back. I know. What the fuck's happening there? And here's some advice for today. People on TikTok have been sharing this simple but effective way to stop the cereal, for your cereal from going soggy so quickly. Pour out portion and then leave the other side in the freezer overnight. In the morning, just add milk onto the cereal. It will give it an extra crunchy and extra cold. Perfect for summertime, or if you live in Florida or somewhere warm. So there you go. That's it. Anyways, I know who you are. You know who I am. Love you, mean it, and goodbye.
The views and opinions expressed during this broadcast, podcast, or radio show are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Safety FM and/or Radio Big. The content discussed, including examples of analysis, is provided for illustrative purposes only. It should not be applied as the sole solution in real-world scenarios, as it is based on limited and dated open-source information. Any assumptions made during this broadcast, podcast, or radio show are not reflective of Safety FM and or Radio Big. No portion of this broadcast, podcast, or radio show may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, electronic, mechanical, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of Safety FM and or Radio Big. For permission requests, please contact Safety FM or Radio Big directly.
You got into the safety business because you wanted to protect people, but somewhere along the way, the job started controlling your time, your schedule, your priorities, even your income potential. What if the expertise you've built over the years in the field can give you something more? More freedom, more control, more ownership of your future. I'm Sheldon Primus, the author of 7 Steps to Starting a Profitable Safety Consulting Business and the host of the Safety Consultant Podcast, with more than 350 episodes helping safety professionals become consultants and grow their career. Consulting changed my life. In fact, I'm a full-time RVer and one consulting contract paid for my home I live in today. Now, I help safety professionals build their own consulting practice through bi-weekly coaching calls, accountability, and personal guidance. But this program isn't for everyone. Start with the consultant readiness audit at sheldon.coach.
What if everything we thought we knew about safety was just interference? From the host of the Rated R Safety Show and the founder of Safety FM, comes the complete Signal Transmission Trilogy, now available in one powerful edition. Safety, in my opinion, the book that started the conversation. Safety Mutation, where the boundaries of culture, systems, and belief begin to break. And now, Safety Transmission, the final piece of the Signal. For the first time, all 3 books are together in one volume. The Signal Transmission Trilogy, complete edition, This isn't just about compliance. It's about consciousness. It's about decoding the way we think, lead, and live inside and outside the system. Whether you've been following the signal since the beginning or you're just now tuning in, this is the version to own. Search Signal Trilogy on Amazon or visit safetyfm.com to get your copy now.